Well, good morning. Welcome to worship here at Calvin Christian Reformed Church in Lamars, Iowa, on this beautiful Sunday morning. A few announcements this morning before we get started in worship. This Sunday has been designated as the day of prayer for the victims of Hurricane Harvey. So keep that in your minds as we worship together, and we will pray for them during our communal prayer together. Another announcement on that line as well. Luke Cargan, the pastor of the Church of Christ, has let me know that at the old Walmart store at 1 o'clock, they will be gathering supplies and organizing things to send down to victims of Hurricane Katrina. Or excuse me, Katrina, yeah, it is similar to Katrina, for Hurricane Harvey down to Houston around 1 o'clock p.m. at the old Walmart. And as far as our own denomination goes, the Siouxland, I believe it's Diaconal Group, has put some stuff together, and if you want more information on that, we can forward that to you as well. A few other announcements. Sunday school will start next week. We are still in need of some Sunday school volunteers for substitute teaching, so if you feel called to do that, just to be a substitute, in case the main teacher can't show up, let us know. Also, next week, we have classes on Saturday, so I will be there with our elder and deacon delegates. Let me see. Oh, as far as Sunday school goes, I should say, here's my little spiel for adult Sunday school since I'm teaching it this year again. We're going to be breaking it into four-week modules, so it's not going to be just one long thing. We'll be doing different topics every 4 weeks or so. And the first 4 weeks, we're going to do the book of Leviticus. And don't everybody break into applause at once. But think about it a little bit. Have you ever wondered why the heck that book is in the Bible? Well, show up for the next 4 weeks and you'll find out. Well, that's my plug for my adult Sunday school. Glenda Hoffland is getting her lungs cleaned for the third and final time in 3 days, three cleanings in 3 days. Keep her in your prayers. Keep their Glenda and Arlen's daughter as well in your prayers. She also is in Houston, but from last I heard, she's doing okay. She's in the area where the water is starting to recede, and she hopes to go back to work on Tuesday. So thanks be to God for that. Also, we have our Women's Wednesday Evening Bible Study sign-up. The sign-up, you need to do that today. It's all in caps in the bulletin, so I felt like I needed to emphasize that. Do it today. And we will have nursing home ministry again next week. Not today. We're off today because it's Labor Day. The final thing is just, again, a word about my availability. Again, my office hours have been shortened slightly since I'm teaching up at Northwestern on Mondays and Wednesdays and Fridays, but that doesn't mean I'm not available to you. Please do take seriously my cell phone number in there. Give me a call. If you need to talk, just give me a call, okay? With these things in mind, brothers and sisters, would you stand for our call now to worship this morning? Our call to worship this morning comes from 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 5. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Sisters and brothers, we come into worship this morning, and we come into the presence of the God who takes all of our anxiety, who takes all of our fear, who takes all of our problems, who takes all of our mess that we are, takes it and transforms it as we enter into his house in worship. And as we do so, let's sing our first song of worship together, Better Is One Day. Thank you. as we come into God's courts singing praises, the God of all grace and glory greets us with these words this morning. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. And even as God's greeting rolls over us, we sense our own inadequacy and our own sin, and we bow the knee and we confess our sins together, saying in unison, Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And that God who greets us with grace and peace assures us of his mercy and his grace. Sisters and brothers, hear the good news this morning. This saying is faithful and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom each one of us is chief in our own way and in our own kind. He himself bore on his body our sins, that we might be dead to all that is evil and alive to all that is good. And I declare to you this morning, if you have confessed your sins, Jesus says to you, again, not me, Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. And having received that assurance of peace from our holy God, let's turn and pass the peace to one another, greeting each other in Christ's name this morning.
I'll be reading a very familiar passage from Romans 12:9-21, Love in Action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 26, and we will read it responsively. Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. For I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. I abhor the assembly of evildoers and refuse to sit with the wicked. Proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wondrous deeds. Brothers and sisters, this too is the word of the Lord. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we always read the gospel from the center of the people of God because it symbolizes that Jesus Christ came down from his throne on high and came near to his people, took on their very flesh, was in the midst of them. And so hear the words of Jesus near to you in your very heart. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some are here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Brothers and sisters, this is the gospel of the Lord. Our Old Testament reading this morning and our sermon passage is from Numbers 11. And if you're visiting with us, we have been working our way through the book of Numbers. And this is the last sermon in the series for now. We're going to take a break and go back to the New Testament and do something different next week. But we come to Numbers 11. In some ways, a fitting conclusion, leaving the people in the wilderness, which is where the entire book of Numbers takes place, at the beginning of seven sins of Israel. So we get the first two sins in Numbers 11 this morning. So let's read our Old Testament passage this morning. Now the people complained about their hardships in the hearing of the Lord. And when he heard them, his anger was aroused. Then the fire from the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. When the people cried out to Moses, he prayed to the Lord and the fire died down. So that place was called Taverah, because the fire from the Lord had burned among them. Taverah meaning it burned. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. The manna was like coriander seed and looked like resin. The people went around gathering it and then ground it in a handmill or crushed it in a mortar. They cooked it in a pot or made it into loaves, and it tasted like something made with olive oil. When the dew settled on the camp at night, the manna also came down. Moses heard the people of every family wailing at the entrance of their tents. The Lord became exceedingly angry, and Moses was troubled. He asked the Lord, why have you brought this trouble on your servant? What have I done to displease you that you put the burden of all these people on me? Did I conceive all these people? Did I give birth to them? Why are you telling me to carry them in my arms as a nurse carries an infant to the land you promised on oath to their ancestors? Where can I get meat for all these people? They keep wailing to me, give us meat to eat. I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is too heavy for me. If this is how you're going to treat me, please go ahead and kill me. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruin. The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting, that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you, so that you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow, when you will eat meat. The Lord heard when you wailed, if only we had meat to eat, we were better off in Egypt. Now the Lord will give you meat, and you will eat it. You will not eat it for just one day, or 2 days, or 5, or 10, or 20 days, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and you loathe it, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him, saying, why did we ever leave Egypt? But Moses said, Here I am among 600,000 men on foot, and you say, I will give them meat to eat for a whole month. Would they have enough if flocks and herds were slaughtered for them? Would they have enough if the fish in the sea were caught for them? The Lord answered Moses, Is the Lord's arm too short? Now you will see whether or not what I say will come true for you. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of their elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took some of the power of the Spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. However, two men whose names were Eldad and Medad had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the Spirit also rested on them, and they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. But Moses replied, Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. Now a wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea. It scattered them up to 2 cubits deep, that is 3 foot deep, all around the camp as far as a day's walk in any direction. All that day and night and all the next day, the people went out and gathered quail. No one gathered less than 10 homers. Then they spread them out all around the camp. But while the meat was still between their teeth and before it could be consumed, the anger of the Lord burned against the people, and he struck them with a severe plague. Therefore, the place was called Kibrot Hataava, because they buried the people there who had craved other food. And Kibrot Hataava literally means the graves of the cravers, or the craving graves. From Kibrot Hataava, the people traveled to Hatzarot and stayed there. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me this morning that God's word would enter into our hearts? Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, your Spirit has called us into worship. We have entered your presence. We have entered in the name of the Son and the power of the Spirit to draw near to the Father. And we beg you to speak to us this morning. We beg you to tear the heavens apart, to come down among us, to tear open our hearts, to tear open my mouth, and exalt yourself among us. Give us grace to hear, we pray. In Jesus' name, in the power of the Spirit, amen. So the army that is Israel is 3 days' journey into the desert. Before they had taken off from Mount Sinai, they had paraded before God in worship. They had brought him sacrifices, the meat of bulls and goats. They had brought him silver bowls and gold ladles. They had sang with joy to the Lord. They had feasted on the savory meat of Passover. And they had marched out in hope, singing all the way, the promised land, here we come. And now, 3 days into the march, 3 days, a foul mood has settled on the camp. These people who had heard the silver trumpets of the priests, it's time to get up and go. The people who had seen the cloud pick up, the people who had watched Moses consult with Hobab, the man who knew all the ins and outs of the desert, the people who watched the ark go out ahead of them, scouting the way. They are now filled with a foul mood. It's on the fringes of the camp. Hasn't worked its way in yet, but there are grumblings, murmurings. And the Lord overhears these grumblings and murmurings. Why has God led us into this wilderness? All we're doing is marching. We thought this would be easier. We would be at the promised land. But we march. There's scorpions. It's hot out here. March. And the whining begins to roll on the outskirts of the camp. A whining about what God is doing, but not a whining to God, a whining about God. And Yahweh, the God of Israel, overhears their whining. He overhears their grumbling. He overhears their insubordination, these Mount Sinai trained troops. And his anger flares up, and fire gusts out from him, destroying the edges of the camp. The people cry out, wailing, "Moses, go pray to God for us." And so Moses runs into the tabernacle, falls down on his face before the mercy seat, and begs God, "Please make the fire abate, make it go away." And Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, hears Moses, and the fire recedes, a ring of ash and blackened earth around the camp. But no sooner has the last flickering flame died out than the rabble army is at it again, a second time. They begin to crave a craving. Who will give us meat to eat? Who will give us meat to eat? Oh, we've been marching. We're hungry. And even as they begin to pout, and even as the crocodile tears flow down their cheeks, even as the grumbling begins again, as they pasture their herds, their flocks, their cattle, their goats, who will give us meat to eat? They sit down beside their tents, the wailing beginning, petting their goats again, looking at their cattle. Who will give us meat? Meat. And as they whine to each other, as they whine to themselves, they begin to rewrite the story of what had happened in the last 2 years. Oh, remember Egypt? Oh, we had fish to eat in Egypt for free. For free? They were slaves. For free! And there were cucumbers, and there were watermelons, and there were leeks, and there were onions and garlic for spice. And now all we have is manna. Ugh. Manna every day. Manna won't go away. Ugh. Manna up to our eyeballs. It's everywhere. We just want a little meat. Who will give us meat to eat? There they sit, beside their tent flaps, whining and complaining. Their herds, right beside them, that could be meat, manna all around. God has despoiled Egypt for them. He has given them the flocks and the herds of Egypt. He gives them manna from heaven. It comes down every night. It alights on those little clumps of grass that even now the cattle are picking at, the bushes where the sheep hide from the desert sun. And they go out and gather it. Oh, but we have to work for this. We lived like kings in Egypt. It was for free. But we have to go out, we have to grind it, and we have to bake it, and we have to boil it and make cakes out of it. It's like we're slaves. God's treating us like slaves. And the whining of the rabble, now no longer at the edges of the camp, has filtered throughout all the ranks. Anger swelling up. Who will give us meat to eat? And as Moses walks by, the people cast angry glances at him. Isn't that Yahweh's prophet? Why doesn't he get on the ball? Why doesn't he give us meat to eat? And the people crave a craving. And all the while, They talk and complain and whine about God, but they never whine to God. They talk, whine, and complain to each other and to themselves about God, but never to God. And doesn't that sound a little bit familiar? How often in our Christian lives do we march out from Mount Sinai 3 days into our journey in this Christian life? We march out in joy, in song. Everything starts out well. We're excited. We eat the Passover on Sunday. And by Wednesday, we're complaining. Who will give us meat to eat? My life isn't fair. I thought that this life of taking up the cross and following Jesus would be easy. Okay, so maybe he said cross, but that just means minor inconvenience. Who will give me meat to eat? All I get is manna. Yeah, God provides, but ugh, come on. Why can't he make things better for me? Why can't he make me happy all the time? Where are the watermelons? Where are the onions? Where's the garlic toast? Really? I have to scrape this manna off the floor and eat it? Ugh. Why doesn't God do what I want him to do? Huh. And all the while, we're busy talking about God, but not talking to him. We're craving a craving. Our whole culture is built on this, craving a craving. I need a new TV. I need it. I need a new car. I need new theology books. I need it. I gotta have it. And why doesn't God give it to me? Why doesn't God give me just a little more money so that I can get what I want? Where's the cucumber? Where's the beef, right? Who will give me meat to eat? And the whining rolls on. Always talking about God, always whining about God, but not whining to him. That would be disrespectful. No. So we sit at our tent flap and we wail and we whine. Even as the goat walks by and the manna falls down, who will give me meat to eat? Whining about God, but not to God. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but there's a second set of whinings in this passage this morning. The Israelites aren't the only ones who whine. So we got the Israelites who whine twice, and now we're going to have someone else whine twice. Moses whines twice. The people are wailing beside their tents. Woe is me. We were kings in Egypt, and now we're slaves in the wilderness. And God just hates us, and he's awful and horrible, and life just is, ugh. And Moses is just, ugh, he's had it. And Moses goes to God, and he says, really? These people? What am I supposed to do with them? Come on, God. Is this how you treat your servant? What? Did I get pregnant with them? Did I give birth to them? What? Am I supposed to pick them up like a wet nurse and nurse them at my breast? Really? Pack them around? Do you think I have milk to give them? Moses is just getting started. Really, God? Where am I going to find meat for them?
Give us meat to eat.
Bunch of squalling brats, and they're too heavy. I can't pick them up anymore. I can't do this all alone. Come on. If this is how you treat your servants, just kill me now. Just kill me. I don't want to have to deal with, I don't want to look at this evil anymore. I don't want to see these squalling brats anymore. Just kill me. And Yahweh responds, all right, Moses, this is what's going to happen. First of all, I'm going to take care of the burden, the weight of these people, right? You can't pick them up and feed them like a wet nurse. I'll distribute the weight. My spirit's going to come upon you. It's going to go out to the 70 elders you're going to bring to the tabernacle, and they will help you bear the burden of this people. But then second of all, you tell the whiners out there, the other whiners, not just you, the one whiner, but all the other whiners, they want meat to eat. I'll give them meat to eat. Just wait. I'll send my spirit out. They'll eat so much meat that they'll be vomiting meat out their nose. Who will give us meat to eat? I'll give them meat to eat. But Moses isn't done complaining yet. He's not done whining yet. Really, Lord? Moses cocks his eyebrow. Really? There are 600,000 foot soldiers here. If we slaughtered all of the flocks and everything, and even if we drug the Red Sea and we got all the fish and we made fish sandwiches, would that be enough to feed them? And Yahweh responds a second time. Is the hand of the Lord too short? Now you will see whether my word will come true or not. Is the hand of the Lord too short? Now you will see whether my word will come true or not. Moses, for all of his whining, whines to God, not about God. The people, in their two versions of whining, whine about God. But Moses, in his two bouts of whining, whines to God. And this teaches us something this morning, brothers and sisters. God, the triune God of the Bible, welcomes whining to him, but not whining about him. Let me repeat that. God welcomes whining to him, but not whining about him. God welcomes whining to him, but not whining about him. The people are busy whining about what God is doing, rewriting the story of what has happened. And as they do it, they begin to treat God as if he was a thing, not a person. They don't go to him with their problem. They talk about him as the problem. Who will give us meat to eat? They don't go, hey, Lord, could you give me meat to eat? Who will give us meat to eat? And yes, Israel's whining is stupider than Moses's. Let's just get that out there in the open. But both are whiners. Both are whining. Both are assuming that God can't act. At the end of the day, they both lack trust. Both sets are sinful human beings overwhelmed with their circumstances, and they can't see what's right in front of them. The people can't see the bulls and goats. They can't see the manna. Moses can't see the power of God that he's experienced over and over and over and over. They lack trust. They lack faith. Is the hand of Yahweh too short? Is the hand of the Lord too short? Now you will see whether my word will come true or not. And yet, God welcomed both of them to whine to him, but not about him. Yahweh welcomed a conversation, maybe a knockdown, drag-out conversation, maybe a bit of a fight, but a conversation, not a wine fest over in the corner about God, but a whine to God. But instead, of course, Israel whines about God. They plop down beside their tents. They rage to themselves. They rage to each other. And they begin to rewrite their history. And isn't that how we usually do things? Oh, it's been so bad. And then we just sort of, we rearrange things in our minds. Oh, yeah. And God just never, ever does anything for me. He's never helped me. I mean, I've had to work like a slave for everything. Rewriting the story in our own minds. We were kings in Egypt. We were free. Got all the food for free. Moses, meanwhile, is filled with just as much doubt, filled with just as much self-pity. You can just hear it ringing. Just kill me. Please, just kill me. Just as much anger. But through the prompting of the Spirit, Moses vents to God. He whines to God. And they have a conversation. And the Lord rebukes Moses. Is the hand of the Lord too short for you? Think God can't do this? And notice what God is doing. God is taking Moses' whining, and he's turning it into an opportunity for Moses to praise him. He's taking Moses' whining and making it an opportunity, a teachable moment, for Moses to learn to trust God once again. God welcomes whining to him because he turns it into an opportunity for praise. If we're just whining by ourselves, we can't have a conversation with God. We can't have God say, wait a minute. Is the hand of the Lord too short? And the Spirit of God acts. He acts upon both sets of whiners. Spirit comes upon Moses. Spirit goes from Moses out to the 70 elders, even the ones who are way off in the camp. And God takes away Moses' burden. Now, God doesn't necessarily give Moses what he wants, right? You read between the lines of the text, Moses is basically saying, early retirement. I want to go back with my flocks and my wife to Midian and just deal with animals. I'm tired of people, okay? Just kill me now. God says, no early retirement, but I'll help you out. They have a conversation. Moses whines to God, and God takes it and makes it an opportunity for Moses to learn to trust once again. By the end of the story, Moses is saying, oh, that all of the people would be receiving the Spirit of God and would prophesy. Once again, being taught, God teaching him how to praise. Is the hand of the Lord too short? But what about the whining people? The people who are whining about God? Well, the Holy Spirit gives them exactly what they want. Verse 31 in our text in the NIV says something like, I think maybe Jeremy will put it up for us. Now a wind went out from the Lord and drove quail in from the sea. Literally in Hebrew it says, and a spirit went out from the Lord and drove quail from the sea. Now you notice again the parallel. Two sets of whining, the people's whining, two sets of whining with Moses. The Spirit acts with Moses, and now the Spirit acts with the people. A wind goes out, the Spirit of God goes out over the sea, sweeps up all these quail, and rains them down on the camp. A day's journey this way, a day's journey that way, a day's journey, 3 foot high quail everywhere. And the people who are craving, who will give us meat to eat? Well, they haven't had a conversation with God. They haven't whined to God. They've been busy whining about God. Been busy rewriting what happened the last couple of years. We were kings in Egypt, and now we're slaves out here. They have no opportunity to praise. The Spirit gives them what they want. They run out. You can't trust Yahweh. Who knows when we might eat again? Quick, get it in all the buckets you can. Day and night, let's get everything filled up because we might never see meat again. God is not trustworthy. You never know, right? He just gives us manna. Ugh. So they're busy filling up their buckets for a whole day, a whole night, and then another day. Who will give us meat to eat? Well, you don't know. This is probably some sort of, accident. This is probably some sort of wind that kind of came up. Yeah, it's not God. It's not the Spirit of God. All right. And then they're so filled with a craving, so filled with hunger, According to Jewish tradition, they don't even bother to cook the quail. They're just grabbing them, feathers and all, and stuffing them into their mouths like hungry wild animals. Arrgh. And before they can even begin to chew, the plague breaks out among them. Plague from the quail themselves. And people start dropping like flies. And they get buried in graves called the graves of the craves. They whine about God, and God gives them exactly what they want, and it kills them. Who will give us meat to eat? Okay, you can have meat. It's plagued, but good luck. Sisters and brothers, the triune God of the Bible calls us to whine to him, not about him. When you are angry with God, when you're petulant with God, when you're just being plain stupid, go to him. I'm serious. Go to him. We have these sort of like weird conceptions of what prayer is. Oh, well, it's got to be very nice and polite, and that would be disrespectful to go whine to God. Well, then what's the alternative? I'm going to go sit by my tent flap, and I'm going to whine to myself, and I'm going to whine to my, I'm going to call my friend on my phone. God is just awful to me. Like, I just, oh. Whine to God, not about God, because God takes that whining, and he transforms it, and he makes it into an opportunity for praise, an opportunity where he can teach us once again to trust him, an opportunity for him to say, no, that sort of rewriting of what happened to you in the last few years in your head, oh, God never takes care of me. Wait, time out. How many times have I saved you? How many times have I helped you? Is the arm of the Lord too short? But if we whine to ourselves and we ignore the Spirit's push and we sit down beside our tents, wailing, thrashing on the ground, why is God doing this to me? Why is life not like I planned it? Why don't I get the TV I want? Why don't I get the wife I want, the husband I want? Why don't I get the children I want? Why don't I get the parents I want? Why? Poor me. And right in front of us, there is a goat and an ox and some manna, provisions around. When we do that, the Spirit gives us exactly what we want. Okay, fine. You want meat to eat? Here you go. Here's some meat to eat. And the quail rains down upon us, and we get exactly what we wanted. And how many times did the very thing that we wanted, the very thing that we whined and complained about, we finally get it, and it proves to be our death rather than our life. It doesn't bring us the joy. It doesn't bring us the happiness. Because, of course, the problem is us, not the thing. Right? And so God calls us to whine to him, not whine about him. He calls us to lift all of who we are, even the whiny bits, to him in prayer. The spiritual theologian Eugene Peterson puts it this way. He says, everything in our life must be prayed. If it is to be real, if it is to be truly human, it must be prayed. And he says, look at the Psalms. The Psalms are filled with complaining. The Psalms are filled with lamenting and raging. They're filled with outbursts of joy and outbursts of pain. And yes, there's some legitimate whining in there too. Some of it's legitimate in the sense of, yeah, I can see why they're upset with God about that. And other stuff is like, I didn't get a new TV, right? Some of it's stupid. And yet God welcomes all of it to him so that in each instance he can take it, and he can make it into an opportunity for praise. This happens in the Psalms again and again. You'll open the Psalms, Lord, how long? What is wrong with you? How long will you hide your face from me? Come on. And yet, as they whine to God, something happens. They begin to hear a response. Is the arm of the Lord too short? Is it? And by the end of the psalm, we hear, Blessed are you, O Lord God of hosts, the one who has saved me in the past, again and again, and will save me again even now. Sisters and brothers, God calls us to whine to him, not whine about him. He welcomes whining to him. He might have a bit of a fight with us. He might rebuke us. He rebuked Moses over and over. Moses whines all the time, in case you didn't notice. I mean, he has what the rabbis call chutzpah. Like, oh, God, come on. He's always arguing with God. And God seems to actually kind of like it. They have this sort of thing going on. Moses, knock it off. Come on, God, knock it off. Okay, right? But he's always whining to God. He's not whining about God. The Spirit's pushing him. And the Spirit pushes us, brothers and sisters. Let's whine to God. Let's wrap up even those bits of us that aren't particularly polite, that aren't particularly holy or religious, and let's bring those to God as well. Let's bring them to God through the Spirit in Jesus Christ, and let's see God take that whine and transform it into an opportunity for praise. Look how I've taken my Spirit and I've poured it out now on these 70 other elders. Look how I've taken my Spirit and poured it through you out on other people. Is the hand of the Lord too short? Nah. So this week, as we go out into the world, and when we hit Wednesday, 3 days into the wilderness, and we're starting to feel kind of like, oh, God, really? Oh, he's so mean to me. Let's just turn it. Lord, you're mean to me. Come on. And let's hear then God's response. Is the hand of the Lord too short? Because God welcomes whining to him. Not about him, but to him. And brothers and sisters, that is good news. That is the gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. In response to God's word this morning, I would invite you to stand. And we will sing, Rejoice, the Lord is King. Let's stand and sing to the Lord who invites us to whine to him, but not about him. Will you stand with and sing with me this morning? You may be seated. And now it is time for all of us to gather our hearts all together and to enter God's throne room in prayer. And yes, maybe even a little bit of whining towards God. Bringing all of who we are, not just the nice pious bits, but also our fears, our stupidity, everything. Let's join all of our hearts, all of who we are together, and let's enter in before our God and pray to Him this morning. Holy Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we praise your name that you are a God who is willing to listen to us, a God who invites us to enter into conversation with you, a God who loves to hear even our complaints. Lord, teach us to complain to you, to whine to you, and to not whine about you, to get caught up in ourselves and in that inner monologue that goes on and on, where we rewrite our stories and pretend that you are not our Savior, that you are not the one who has given us all things, given us manna from heaven, given us flocks and herds to eat. Lord, be with us. Thank you. Thank you that you do listen and that you take even the worst parts of us, that awful whine, and you turn it into an opportunity for praise. Through our mistakes, you make a showing of your grace, a pouring out of your Spirit. Thank you. This morning, Father, we pray for those who are in Houston. Lord, many who are suffering, many who are afraid, many who have lost things, Lord. We know, Lord, that there are some of your people there who are suffering and many who are not your people who are suffering. And we pray, Lord, for all of them. We pray that through this mess, you would somehow turn it into an opportunity for praise. We think especially of Arlen and Glenda's daughter who is in Houston. Keep her and her family safe. We think, Father, also of Glenda right now as she is undergoing her third lung cleaning in 3 days. Give her body strength. Help her lungs to be thoroughly clean so that she can just catch her breath again. Father, we pray for those among us, the others among us, family members who are sick and sorrowing. We think of John and Mary Van Hill's daughter, Sandra. We thank you, Lord, that she seems to be doing a little better, and yet we continue to pray for healing, Lord. Heal her bone cancer. Heal her. Lord, we cry to you. We beg you, heal her. We pray for Karen DeLapp's mother. Lord, be with her too. Do not forsake her, but be with her. Lord, we know your arm is not too short in these things. Show us your power. We pray for Greg Smith with his cancer. Be with him. Make his treatments efficient and effective. Give him a long and happy life. We pray for our shut-ins, Lord. We pray for Patty Ritzema. We pray for Margaret Hopp. We pray for Denise Masterbergen. We pray for Jan Sneller. We pray for her mother, Joanne Sneller. And we pray, Lord, this morning for all the brokenhearted in the pew, those who lament and weep. Lord, those who at times weep for good reasons, and then, Lord, sometimes the weeping turns to whining. Lord, even in this, pull their hearts toward you so that they would cry to you and not weep alone to themselves, but weep to you, and give them an opportunity to praise you through it. Be with them. Lord, we only come to you in the name of Jesus, and we come to you through his power, through his Spirit. And so we end our prayer this morning saying together the prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, I would ask the deacons to come forward and take our offering. Please stand, brothers and sisters, for our parting greeting, or our parting blessing. As you go out in mission and in ministry to love and to serve God this week, go out knowing that the God of all grace and truth and peace welcomes every bit of you in prayer. So not just the polite things, not just the sort of, you know, the good-sounding stuff, but even the whining. God says, bring it to me, that I might show you my hand. Is the arm of the Lord too short? Be encouraged with that, and know that your God is with you, and he goes forth with you in power. Receive his blessing. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. And all of God's children said, Amen.